Good morning. Well, it was a beautiful day at stand at the polls yesterday. I mean, that sun was wonderful, and it was not too hot, and people were very considerate of one another, and so it was
always good
a great
to have...
day to go and say hello to my friends and neighbors there at the polls.
Always a good day for civility on primary election day. But as you mentioned, the weather was perfect, nice and warm, 78 degrees, and only, 17,818 of the 91,501 registered voters got out to vote. And it was interesting to see that the more experienced members of our community made up the greater numbers, where perhaps the younger generation just didn't get out and get after it. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think in general that the population that's a bit older have a lot of respect for the election day, and even if there's nothing there that's real exciting, they'll get out and vote because they consider that their civic duty and something that many of their family members have fought and died for, the privilege of being able to go out and vote on Election Day. So I'm not surprised to see our senior citizens out there making sure that their voices are heard.
And everybody has a chance to make their voice heard. It's interesting to see who takes advantage of that and who might not take advantage of it. But this is a primary. Sometimes that's, quote-unquote, not as big of a deal. Well, there were some races yesterday, Marty, that were pretty big deals, including one that for the Republican state, for the Republican Senate race.
Right. And, you know, that was clear down to the wire. People would say, well, who are you going to support? And I said, I change my mind every day. At first I hear one, and I think, oh, he sounds wonderful. I hear another one, I'll go, okay, that's good. And then on to the third one, and they all sound good, but then they seem to be wanting to fuss with one another. And I think sometimes when you have a three-way race and you have two people who are shooting darts at one another, and the other ones is going to come right up through the middle. So I think Abdul called it right yesterday when he said he thought it would be Braun taking the lead, and that's going to be a big change-up because, you know, he does not have the experience in Washington. However, that neither did Donald Trump, and so I just hope it all just works out real well for everyone. I've already received something from the state party chairman wishing him well and urging coming together, and that's what parties do. For instance, here locally, I'm sure there was a big, that prosecutor's race was could have been very divisive, but they'll come together because that's what parties do. After the primary, then that's done, and you move forward so that you're ready for the fall election.
Now, speaking of the prosecutor's race, the winner of that will be Erica, or winner of the primary is Erica Oliphant, and she defeated Margie Rice there almost 2-1 in the vote. That we thought the... Not we, I'm not going to put myself in this category. That's why I have experts like you on here. The tenor was this should have been a closer race, but wasn't. Why not?
Well, and one wonders about this, and it depended many times on who their supporters were, their campaign managers, and so forth. But, it may very well be that with Margie Rice's background of being a city attorney and then the county attorney, maybe that was a detriment to her.
Here's what Laura Lane wrote in today's paper, and this is where I have this angle. It said, Laura Lane, front page of today's HT, both Rice and Oliphant sought an endorsement from the county's influential Democratic Women's Caucus, but the vote was split between the two, and neither won an endorsement. Oliphant's overwhelming victory indicates a shift in the party from the status quo. Longtime Monroe County Democrat political leader and community activist Charlotte Zietlow was Rice's campaign manager and a high-profile supporter. So that's where I thought maybe this should have been a closer race. Maybe I'm off base on that.
Well, and people will probably be questioning that. I do know that there was some major disagreement about who they had accepted dollars from, and there was this big pushback on whether or not the Kevin Robling's support of dollars between the two candidates might have been some disagreement there. And you wonder if that might, tying that back to the county commissioners, if that would have had anything to do with Pat Stouffer's loss to Lee Jones, because that whole thing having to do with that trash transfer situation and then stepping down from the plan commission and so forth, and all of that, did that make a big change in how that party looked at the candidates and if they were supported by that?
Well, that was going to be my next question for you, because that was another race that wasn't even a race, is Lee Jones, 8,306 votes, Patrick Stauffer's 3,159. I mean, it wasn't close.
Right, and Lee Jones was not real vocal. She was, this is not her first rodeo. She's been around politics for a very long time, and so she was working her campaign in what works best for her, evidently. And she had, of course, that huge women's caucus supporting her, and that makes a big difference in those races. And so then you don't know whether or not, what triggered her desire to run for county commissioner, whether it was that food and beverage tax, which she opposed and Pat Stouffer's was in favor of, or whether it was that whole trash transfer thing that she really was dismayed about. Just in general, what was her reasoning for running for county commissioner? So that's going to be very strange now. County commissioners meeting is today. County council meeting is tonight. And I know that they have moved forward with making that appointment to that advisory board for that food and beverage tax. So how much the county commissioners now will be bringing the advice from Lee Jones.
Well, that was going to be my next question for you. How this is just a primary. There's still a November election to go on. How much between now and then is business as usual, and how much of it is with one eye on the November races, in your opinion?
Well, it will all be about the November races.
Okay.
I really think that's going to happen, because it's not like as if you have one that's stepping down because they decided to retire and someone else coming on board and everything moves real smoothly. That's not the way this was. This was a contested race. And so everything that the three county commissioners are doing, the two that will still be there next year and will be working with Lee Jones if she is successful in her bid to be county commissioner, they'll want to make sure that they'll be working well together for the following year. Of course, she does have opposition on the Republican ticket, so we'll see how much energy is there for that. We'll find out. He had been a part of the Democrat Party, Larry Barker, who's now running as for the county commissioner slot on the Republican ticket, and bringing that back to the race for judge. Christine Talley-Haisman, when I went to bed last night, she was not pulling this out of the bag. I get up this morning and she looks to be the winner.
27 now, votes, 63-23 over Chris Gall, 62-96. So if you're, again, like Marty, just waking up this morning and tuning in, that came down to 27 votes. That's about as tight as it gets.
Right. Well, I remember losing a primary once by 8 votes.
Now, are they going to recount that? Who determines the recount and starts that process?
Well, the loser would be the one who would determine whether or not he wanted to.
So he would say, look, it's 27 votes. That's close enough for me. Let's start a recount. Or he throws his hands up and he says, congratulations, you won. Nice job.
Well, we'll find out which direction he says. I mean, it's very close. But the reason why I said the difference between whether it's Republican or Democrat, the last time Christine Taliesin served on the bench was because she was appointed by the Republican governor, and she was on the Republican side of the ticket. So now she's on the Democrat side of the ticket, and I believe she was supported by a lot of the Democrat women. Once again, that women's group is really strong, and so candidates really want to have that support.
And let me ask you about that, because that's interesting. You talk about Larry Barker. You talk about Christy Talley-Haseman. Mike Braun, was one of the angles against him was, hey, look, he's been a Democrat supporter for years and years. Is this the new normal where you can bounce back and forth, or has this been happening for years and people just don't really pay attention too much?
Well, I think this is interesting. I don't know whether or not it's the new normal, because every time it happens, I think, well, now, is this just because they want to get elected and they'll just say, okay, I'll be on whichever side of the ticket where my numbers are. So, I mean, it's not hard to look at the numbers and see if you have a better chance on one side of the ticket or the other.
But if it seems so obvious to you and me, it doesn't seem to bother the voter?
Well, you'd have to ask the voters.
Well, I can't ask 6,300 of them, but you see my point. It just seems like you know this has happened. The people that follow the political game know it's happened. Is this obviously in a Democratic versus Democratic race? Somebody's not pulling just the D lever. You got to pick which one. So I find it fascinating, to say the least.
Right, and it really does depend on who their supporters are, and so. It's interesting, but it just makes you wonder if you know, because you have so many of the women who won, and I'm a big supporter of women getting involved in politics.
Amen.
And coming out. I mean, I love that. You know, I have two daughters, so I love to see women serve. But if I had sons, I'd be saying, well, I want them to have a fair chance, too.
But so, why is the women's group so powerful, Marty? Is it they're well organized? Is it they have far-reaching, they're all over the place? Give me a little insight to that for somebody who might not follow the game as closely as you do.
Well, of course, if the women they will continue to meet all year long and pull in the energy. They'll make sure that they have slots filled on the township boards and all of these commissions and whatever that they're put together at the city level and so forth. And they make sure that the people they're involved with are getting jobs along the way that is a part of it. And so the people who have served and been a part of that for years, just like Susie Hamilton, who wins handily every time she puts her name on the ballot for the township board there in Perry. So they have a lot of dedication to one another. I don't know what happened having to do with Charlotte Zitlow's support there for Margie Rice, but I think it had less to do with Charlotte's support than it had to do with Margie Rice's background, perhaps, as being the city attorney and then the county attorney or whatever other things that were going on. I know that now that the primary's over, there'll be not just the ones that are already slotted for who's going to be up against who, having to do with the fall election. For instance, and I didn't hear you mention when you were saying the county council races in Poland in District 1.
Yeah, it was against Shelley Yoder.
Be against Shelley Yoder.
That was going to be my next question for you. Yeah, Ann Collins and Katie Wiltz in District 2. District 3 right now, Marty Hawk, Republican, is unopposed. County District or Council District 4, Eric Spoonmore, no GOP candidate. So on we see a lot of no GOP candidates throughout this list here. Are those going to be filled, Marty? Talk about how that process works.
Right. What I wanted to mention is even if you don't have that slot filled after the primary, and I don't have the dates memorized as when it has to happen, then the parties can have a caucus and fill that slot with someone. And then that would be, there would be a vote, and whoever wins that caucus then would be able to move forward with that candidacy. Now, whether or not that will happen, I don't know. So I may have an opponent come the fall. Eric Spumar may have an opponent come the fall. We'll just...
Who's the voice of the Republican Party that would come out and is going to lead this to have these ballots filled up? We know the Democrats who's in charge over there, but are there people that just didn't want to get in the primary, would rather just run in the general? Tell me how this process works.
Well, it's really difficult filling these slots if you don't have a lot of energy behind getting it. You know, if the people out there who would normally want to serve in county government or wherever, if they look at those numbers and they say, oh, well, why bother?
Well, I'm going to make a funny statement here. We just talked a couple minutes ago about people saying, well, I was a Democrat and there's nowhere to run over here. Maybe I'll just jump on the Republican ticket.
And who knows what will happen now. Remember, it's up to the party chairman as to whether or not they will accept someone be on that ballot if their record shows that they have voted in opposite ways. But I really don't know. The other upset that we saw, Kevin Ferris, who sits on the Elsville Town Council, was upset by Dan Swofford, who had served in the past, and his name was on the ballot, and he won that seat. So there's going to be a changeover there as well. And then we have some a slot that didn't get filled at all either by, so there'll be definitely will have to be a caucus for filling slots on that Elsville Town Board. And then, of course, we've got all of the township boards, and to make sure that every one of those slots are filled. So it could be a very exciting fall year, but wasn't it? It was, to me, it's just sad that we don't have a better turnout for voting on primary election day. But if you don't fill those slots so that everyone whose name is on that ballot is bringing in their friends, their family members, their neighborhood groups, and so forth, to get out to the polls and help support them, then you have a slow turnout.
And that sounds like a lot of hard work.
It is a lot of hard work. Let me tell you, no matter what, it is not easy to have your name on the ballot, but kudos to everyone who stepped up to the plate to say, I want to be a part of this process. I want to be someone who can make a difference for my community, my state, my country. So I'm excited to see how the fall will go. I've not met Mike Braun to hear him speak except at larger groups, but I have a lot of friends and neighbors who have heard him speak, and they're very impressed. So I'm looking forward to see what we have there. And I'll be, if anything, and I think we'll have a lot of people who agree with me, I am just glad that all of us ads for state senate, the senator's race is going to be gone.
Just when I had them all memorized, they're going to stop. Oh, but don't worry, Marty, they'll be back in just a different form a little bit down the road.
Right. Well, and then it will be interesting this afternoon. Even this morning, county commissioners meeting is this morning. They're supposed to be signing off on a rather major contract that I tried to review very quickly, but I had a lot of other things on my mind, having to do with what I call the limestone property there at Thompson property, and they're supposed to be signing off on a 99-year lease and a contract. So we'll see what happens with
move forward. Obviously, we've had a busy Wednesday morning this Wednesday with the primary results from Monroe County, and then you and I will get back to business as usual next Wednesday. How does that sound after your meeting and the commissioner's meeting?
That sounds really good. And in the meantime, congratulations to all the winners of this primary election, and let us hope that we can all come together and remember the reason why we want to serve is to make our community better.